This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Down low to Brinkett at the goal line. Out front scores. Larkin again. Got his second of the game on the power play. And the Wings have a 2-1 lead here in the second.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. That was the back-to-back set of power play goals for Dylan Larkin. And that one ends up being all Detroit needed. Two goals is enough to win in regulation for the Red Wings. They beat the Sabres 2-1, and that's the goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you into the postgame. Brian Colziel with you. We'll get to Paul Hamilton's take here in just one moment. Well, the Sabres offense only able to muster one goal, and it was shorthanded back in the first period, and that is it. I mean, you give up two on a back-to-back set of games, and I would sign up for that every time. The special teams battle in the end is still a loss. It's a net one loss. Both goals from Larkin came on the power play, but 5-on-5, when the Sabres did have some chances, they weren't able to finish, and Buffalo falling now for the third straight game. They have twice now this season lost three in a row. And we had talked about win streaks, how you got to put wins together. Well, now they're bunching losses together. They started the year 0-3 with three in a row, and now they've lost three in a row. Just remember, you know, after the Sabres had won three in a row, after that win that night, they were in second place in the Atlantic. And now there's going to be tied for last in the entire Eastern Conference. It swung that quick. All right, we'll get you more highlights, more stats coming up, but let's get Paul Hamilton's take here. Paul, one goal isn't going to do it on almost any night.
No, it's not, especially a team that was hot scoring goals, but they got goalied by a below-average goalie again. Been a little while since that's happened, probably back to Darcy Kemper. But certainly we're not talking about even a decent goalie here. We're talking about a below-average goalie, and basically they got goalied in the third period. These shots seem out of whack to me. I mean, again, I said it at the end of the second period, it seemed like Detroit had a lot more than 9 shots, and it seemed like Buffalo had a lot more than 12 in the third period. The Sabres were absolutely all over the Red Wings in the third period, and they got goalied, and they couldn't get one by them. And simple as that. I mean, as you mentioned, you're not going to win with one goal. But it was special teams the whole game. It was actually the Detroit Red Wings power play and the Buffalo Sabres penalty kill that provided all the scoring in this game. You know, Tuck gets it started with a shorthanded goal, and you think you're in good shape, and then Buffalo gives up two power play goals very quickly. I mean, power went off at 7:14, and the power play goal was scored at 7:49. And then Quinn went off at 14:25, and the power play goal was scored at 14:38. And, again, it was just, the second one. Jordan Greenway is probably their smartest player and is one of the best penalty killers in the NHL, but yet he gets himself on the wrong side of Larkin. He's behind him. He's got his stick, like touching his stick. That's not good enough. You can't be behind him. You got to be in front of him. I mean, because Larkin's facing the net. So when the puck comes out to him, he's facing the net all by himself because the guy trying to cover him is behind him. I just don't get it, how all of a sudden they melt. They just don't think. And then when they do show up, and I thought they had a lot of energy in the third period and had numerous chances to score the tying goal, they couldn't get it by a below-average goaltender. So
I was just going to jump in there quick. I think for a back-to-back, with Detroit being so rested, not playing since Tuesday, had they not scored in the third because they looked like they had no legs, like, I'm not saying people would have loved it anymore, but like at least we would have said, well, this script happens sometimes when you're playing back-to-back and the other team's rested. But that was not the case. They outshoot them 13-7. They had the chances, including some late in the 6-on-5. And you're right, just not able to beat Talbot, which probably makes it even more frustrating because they did bring it very hard there in the third on a back-to-back situation.
Yeah, in the third period, Detroit looked like the team that played last night. And they haven't played in a while. And Buffalo's just all of a sudden got some energy. I don't know who spoke at the end of the second period, but something got them going. And, you know, Luukkonen didn't really have to do too much down at the other end. He had to make a couple of saves, but basically, you know, watched his team play in the offensive zone and get opportunities and miss the net. They won two straight faceoffs at the end there, clean, and Dahlin and Peterka missed the net. Aren't those the two guys you want to have the puck there? But they both missed the net. I mean, it's just, what are you doing? They cannot bear down. You have to bear down. You just can't be missing the net all the time. And, you know, they had 31 shots, and they had 21 shots blocked again, and they missed the net 19 times. 19 they missed the net with and got 31 on the net. That's two nights in a row now. They had 73 shot attempts last night. And I'm doing quick math here. Is it 71 in this game? Is that correct?
40 and 32. 72.
72.
Tonight. Yeah. Because they just added another shot, so they're at 32 now for the game. So, yeah. 40 either blocked or missed shots, and then 32 actual shots, so 72 total.
Yeah. See, I was right. They did have more shots than 12. They had 13.
Yeah, they did.
Seemed like they had like 23. But that, you know why it seemed that way? Because they were missing the net. And that's why. And it's same old problems, new coach, but same old problems. And if it is actually the players, and if the players just can't figure out how to play a smarter game than they've played since they've been Buffalo Sabres, under different coaches, they're stuck because these are guys that are the core of the team that have long-term contracts that right now have untradeable contracts, so you're stuck with them.
Yeah. Well, Paul, while we've given Kevin Adams a lot of credit for rebuilding the third and fourth lines, I think we've seen even maybe more offense than at least I anticipated from some of them, like Zucker and McLeod, or at least – you know, a good portion of maybe hopefully what you were thinking they could bring. They've been giving it. But the biggest criticism of Kevin Adams in this offseason was the fact that he kept the top six intact, didn't add a prolific scorer. I know you say that was still your major number one question going into the season, and it's coming back to bite them here in these games right now because the Quinns and the Cousins and even the Peterkas and some of these others here are not coming through in the clutch when they need it. It's, you know, a guy like Jack Quinn who had that chance, I know you said he's got a bear down there. I mean, you've got half of a net open and the puck's right there. And, you know, is it an easy play? Maybe not necessarily, but it's a play that you have to make if you're going to be a top six player and this team's going to start scoring goals in clutch situations.
But then he recovered and sent a nice pass to Peterka, who's open in front, wide open chance. And he shoots it right at Dominik Hasek, like who's in goal, I guess.
And like low into the pads. Yeah,
put it right in his pad. I mean, this is a goal scorer that did that. And you know, that's also a goal scorer that missed the net on the faceoff. So it's just, you know, that's he had six shot attempts in this game, four on net, one blocked, and you know, one that missed the net. So it's just Rasmus Dahlin had 13 shot attempts, four on the net, six blocked, and three missed the net. So nine of his 13 shots were blocked or missed. So that has nothing to do with the goalie. So it's just so, you know, they went on this 4-1-1 streak, and I thought they looked pretty good doing it. And included in that was a three-game winning streak. And they were averaging 4.5 goals per game. So I'm thinking, well, was Adams right? You know, because he keeps saying he's not worried about the goal scoring because they have the goal scoring in the core of the team. And I thought, well, look, you know, it seems like maybe they figured it out. Well, they ruined the whole thing. You just ruined all the good you did in 4-1-1 and a three-game winning streak by losing three in a row, two of which came to the New York Islanders and the Detroit Red Wings, two teams that are struggling badly. And you went 0-2, no points playing those two teams. So you basically just ruined all the good you did before that. And that's, quite frankly, Buffalo Sabres hockey the last couple of years. That's how they roll. That's how this group rolls. And until they do it differently, that's who they are. And they're not going to like to hear that. They'll be mad that I said that, and I couldn't care less. This is who they are until they're not. And this is who they've been since they've been together until they're not. And if they want to prove me wrong, go for it. But they haven't proven me wrong in 3 years.
2-1 Detroit beating Buffalo. The Sabres only able to manage one goal. Paul, interesting here, you mentioned, you know, this is who they are. Well, want to credit Sabermetrics for this. Just got a tweet. Here's how the Sabres looked after the first 12 games the past 10 years. I won't read all 10 years, but I'll tell you this. In the last 10 years through 12 games, this is their second worst start. The only start that's worse, 2017-18 season, they started 3-7-2. They ended up finishing dead last that year in the entire National Hockey League. So in the last 10 seasons, I guess the statement to be made here is that this is their second worst start through 12 games. That is obviously not going to get it done. And for a huge narrative of all of us talking that cover this team about this team in the preseason, about getting off to a good start, you just mentioned that they just wasted their, you know, little streak in there that was good. Now, historically, you're off to another terrible start here with this group that is heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and you go 1-1-1 against Pittsburgh, who has had a rough year, Columbus, who's actually played better than maybe people think they have, and Chicago. Yep. You went 1-1-1. Whether Columbus is better than you think they are or not, that's three winnable games if you're a good team. If you're going to be a playoff team, those are three winnable games. And you went 1-1-1. And now you play the New York Islanders and the Detroit Red Wings, two very winnable games, and you go 0-2. That's why you don't make the playoffs. That's why you are who you are. That's why you make average to below average goaltenders look like Dominic Hasek on a regular basis. And that's why all of a sudden you'll score some goals, and all of a sudden you'll win a few games. And then it's like, well, see, you know, we know how to bear down, and see, we know how to defend. And see, we know how to limit scoring chances, and we know how to play goal, and we know how to score goals. See, we can do it. Yeah, for two games, six games. Yep. That was a little long for them. And then you just go right back to this.
Well, the lineup changes that started tonight's discussion, Paul. Clifton out, Obey Kubel out, Kulik in, Bryson in. Just a quick thought on... did either of those players, especially Bryson, who we see for the first time this season, anything you liked there or want to mention?
Yeah, I thought they both played well. I didn't think they hurt the team at all. If you don't notice a defenseman, that usually means he's playing pretty good, and I didn't really notice Bryson all that much, except that one play where he made a good breakout when the Sabres were in trouble and did get the puck out. Unfortunately, you know, he made a mistake by not getting one more half step up to get to the red line so it's not icing. But still, he got the puck out. And Kulik made a great play in front of the net to I believe it was Quinn. I'm scanning my notes real quick, but it was a great pass. Yeah, it was Quinn in tight, and that was another save by Talbot, but it was a great play by Kulik there. I thought Kulik made a nice defensive play, hustling to get back to break up. I believe it was an outnumbered situation on that play. So I thought they both played well.
All right, Paul. Well, Ottawa's next, and I'll say, you know, you see the Islanders, you see the Wings, you see the Senators, and shame on me for thinking here's another stretch that you can take advantage of if you're the Sabres to build off of what was a good stretch coming in. And these are all three teams that if the Sabres are going to make the playoffs, in my opinion, you have to be ahead of all of them. And now you're on the verge of going 0-3, which would feel like a huge, huge punch in the gut for how this year is getting going here after what I thought was, like I said, a stretch that I started to feel good about where they were at.
Yeah, and, you know, we're sitting there talking about a team that had a four-game winning streak, and they didn't have one last year. They don't have one this year. And I don't even know why we're even mentioning the word playoffs, because until we see a four-game or more winning streak where they pile up wins like good teams do, any good team in the playoffs will stack wins at times. They can't do it, and until they can, we probably should never mention playoffs again. Because if you can't stack more than three wins, you will never make the playoffs ever. That I can guarantee you, and I don't guarantee many things, or predict many things. But if you can't win more than three games in a season in a row, you will not make the playoffs, and that's 100% promise.
Paul, thanks for all your analysis tonight. I hope you enjoy the Bills game tomorrow, and we will talk Tuesday at KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Senators.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul. All right, Paul Hamilton here on our post-game show. Yes, the next up is Ottawa, 7 o'clock on Tuesday, and we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame that night at 6 o'clock on our flagship station WGR, or, of course, on the Odyssey app or WGR550.com. And the Sabres, through this stretch here, have been very healthy. The only injury that they've had has been Zach Benson, who is close to returning. So they've even gotten good news there. Didn't take advantage of the Islander injuries last night. They had two defensemen out in the game for over a period. And also, let the Islanders off the hook for that. So it's not even like you can sit there and say, well, this team is really hit hard with injuries. They're very, very healthy. The injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph's Campus. Go with Joes. All right, timeout here. We'll come back with some stats, some highlights. We'll update you on the standings. But Buffalo falling in regulation to Detroit, 2-1 to drop to 4-7-1. And it's the second time this season they've lost three in a row. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you. If you want to keep listening, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. 2-1 Wings, Dylan Larkin, both goals, the first star in Detroit's win over the Sabres. I'm Brian Colziel. More post-game coming up right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the line, that one is kept out. Owen Power got the stick down and kept that one from crossing the line. Red Wings with a couple of chances early in this power play. Just outside the line, comfort for Raymond as they come right back in. Raymond stopped and then Lukanen with a save. Rebound in front. Oh, saved on the line again for the second time. Owen Power at it again.
Right, that was Alex Tuck down the line. Save.
Yes, Alex Tuck in behind the keeper.
Our saves of the game tonight, we're giving it to a pair of skaters. Owen Power in the first with the stick. Alex Tuck in the second with multiple saves, the leg and the stick and the glove. Those saves of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For your great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 2-1 Detroit over Buffalo. The Sabres fall in regulation for the third game in a row, the second time they've lost three in a row this season. Now 4-7-1. We'll update you on the standings in a moment, but let's get the final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots end up 32-23 in favor of the Sabres. They outshot Detroit 13-7 in the third. Cam Talbot gets the win with 31 saves. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the loss, 21 saves. Individually for the Sabres, Alex Tuck led the way in shots. He had 5. Rasmus Dahlin and J.J. Paterka had 4. In terms of hits, Dylan Cousins led the way with 4. And as we mentioned, the Sabres' shot attempts massive here in this game. Let's see, they end up with 32 in the game and then 39 more, so that's 71 shot attempts. Last night, 73, but still struggling to score. And a lot of it because the shots are not tight in this danger zone area. When they get down in the danger zone's area, they're either missing or not bearing them or still missing the net. We saw that with Quinn and Paterka down low with about a minute to go, maybe more closer to where you'd call the high danger chances, and they weren't able to finish at all there. But, yeah, not good, especially against Cam Talbot. You can maybe understand it against Sorokin, but not against a guy like Cam Talbot for sure. And we get to our Dynabrade.com power play update now, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Sabres 0-2. Power play not coming through tonight, and they give up 2 power play goals to the Wings, 2 of 4, although Tuck's goal did come shorthanded. So special teams-wise, a -1 night overall. All right, so 2-1 Wings. Again, the Sabres stay at 9 points. So let's see what happened elsewhere before we update you on the standings. Our scores from around the league are brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Okay, let's go to the games that are still underway. Starting the third in Nashville, the Predators have a 2-1 lead on the Colorado Avalanche. There are 2 games at 10 that are just about set to start. San Jose is hosting Vancouver, and Vegas hosts Utah. Everything else is a final. Game from Finland earlier today in the Global Series. Panthers double up the Stars 4-2. Bruins shut out the Flyers 3-0. A shootout victory for the Blackhawks. They win in L.A. over the Kings 4-3. Capitals roll as they beat the Blue Jackets 7-2. Ottawa gets a shutout in net, and they beat the Kraken 3-0. The Senators will be here on Tuesday against Buffalo. Blues, 4-2 winners over Toronto, and the Penguins get a 3-1 win over the Canadiens. All right, so what does that mean for the standings? Well, you don't want to look if you're a Sabres fan. Yeah, it's not good. Sabres still have 9 points. That puts them in a tie for last, only with the Canadiens and the Flyers. Everybody else in the East has more. And Flyers, Sabres, and Canadiens all with 9, all through 12 games. So points percentage-wise, they're all tied. All exactly 4-7-1. And they've lost 3 straight in regulation. Only 1 win away from home ice. Well, the stats keep looking poor here, as they do the standings. I mean, I think Montreal and Philadelphia are just complete garbage. And, you know, this is where the Sabres are right now. Islanders have moved ahead of them. The Red Wings have moved ahead of them. Pittsburgh and Boston have gotten off to very slow starts. They've now passed the Sabres, as has Columbus and Ottawa. So another key important game with Ottawa coming up on Tuesday night. Again, that'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop from KeyBank Center, and we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 on our flagship station, WGR. And that'll put a wrap on things here tonight for our postgame. I want to thank our crew. Evan DePasquale, our network producer. Thank you, Evan. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Kyle Powell on our social media. Check out his game story as well, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Culzeal. The final again from Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. It was the Red Wings 2 and the Sabres 1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday night from KeyBank Center with Buffalo and Ottawa right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.